I remember way back years ago, Christmas PC.
Yeah, I just wish the weather was gray and rainy.
Remember one year, I don't remember what it was, but it's been a while.
Yeah.
Anyway, and let's go ahead and turn it off. We're going to have more. Let's finish up the lights.
Thank you.
Thank you. Did you like water fountain?
No.
You got some more of that coffee, Troy?
Thank you.
I did.
Not coffee. I know he always has coffee.
Actually, I'm drinking decaf now. Just in the evening. Yeah, after two, I'm going to drink regular. Hey, Chris.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
You'll love it.
Did you make all this?
I love to make it.
Okay.
I don't eat it, but I love to make it.
That's my mother. My mother's
size,
too. She likes to make it. She'll make it. She'll eat it. She'll be like, I love
your mom's story. Now? Just want you to like to have it.
They just get locked up.
Thank you for the cookies, huh?
Absolutely. It's like a fudge.
Yeah, nice, I like it. Now,
Kelsey sees good chocolate, she's going to attack.
Good for me? Bad for me, but good for me.
You might have to
buy it. Okay, all right. I can do that.
Sure.
I can do that.
Good burn.
Are we all square away? Kelsey, we're all
that's the best this time. Give me a reason to work.
I'd like to call to order the regular session of the Berlin Mayor and Council for Monday, December 10th, 2018. And it has been our tradition at the Berlin Mayor and Council for many, many years. We'd like to invite everyone to join the Mayor and Council in reciting the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Would you please join us in reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Yeah, first item on the agenda is the approval of the regular session minutes of November 16th.
Motion to approve.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Goyas to approve the minutes as prepared. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Stand approved. Next, we have swearing in of Mary Moore, who is returned again for another session with the Berlin Housing Board of Review. And this hasn't been a long wait.
I assume I come to you.
Housing Board of Review.
Housing Board of Review.
According to the Anyone here from the Conservation Community Consulting?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, we'll come right on up. We have another presentation.
Dave Wilson, most of you know me now. How you doing? Good to see you. What we're about to do here is, this is the first time this is a proclamation the council has made on this behalf, and that is that this is a proclamation 2018-14, recognizing 2018, the year we're in, as the year of the bird in Berlin. Whereas birds are present in every environment in urban or rural, wetland or forest, and are an ever-present reminder that nature is all around us. And whereas each season, the Berlin area is home to one of North America's largest migrations, one of those thousands of songbirds, raptors, and waterfowl throughout the region, which is part of the Atlantic flyway. Mm-hmm. And whereas, from Berlin's town parks to the majestic stands of bald cypress to our south, and the Atlantic barrier islands on the east and every area in between, Berlin's rich natural resources support more than 200 bird species. And whereas, Berlin residents and visitors significantly contribute $41 billion that Americans spend annually on birding trips and equipment, and actively participate in important censuses such as the annual Christmas bird count and the Maryland D.C. Breeding Bird Atlas Project. Whereas habitat loss and climate change are major threats to birds, whereas 2018 is the centennial year of the Migratory Bird Treaty Act, which protects birds in our backyards like the northern cardinal and the blue jay. Whereas osprey, great egrets, and wood ducks nest and migrate to the Berlin area. Therefore, I, Mayor G. Williams, do hereby proclaim 2018, the year of the bird, and urge all citizens to take due to note of this observance. Thank you so much for everything you do within the town of Berlin, not only in relation to the birds, but in your conservation management and consulting.
On the agenda is we have a presentation from Stallsbury University students regarding our fall sustainability project results. And each of you don't mind just introducing yourself and then it's all yours.
My name is Anna Parkman.
Hi, I'm Ryan Dean Key.
Hi, my name is Casey King.
And I'm Megan Bonpony.
Okay, I think we've met you all. I think so. Yeah, good, good.
We've been working to help the town implement the Bee City certification by helping raise awareness about pollinators and to enhance the habitats for pollinators. Tonight we will present to you the work of our three groups focusing on social media outreach, providing plans for a future Berlin Falls Park pollinator garden, and educational signage for the public and for the park. Each group collaborated with a variety of stakeholders during this process, and by doing so we were able to create projects that will support Berlin's Bee City USA status. A representative from each group will provide a summary of their project, explaining the overall goals, processes, and results. Following these presentations, we are happy to take questions from the council. I will now hand you over to Dean Key, who will describe the video he has produced and the social media outreach related to this project.
Hello, my name is Dean Key, and I supported our capstone efforts by making a promotional and educational video for Berlin residents about the new Berlin Falls Park and pollinator population efforts. This video will showcase current efforts as well as future plans for pollinators. Berlin Falls Park has a bright and promising future, and I wanted to display the potential with some interview questions, a camera, some video editing software, and a few peaceful walks through the park. I was able to produce something that I hope will be of use for the town of Berlin.
The town administrator in Berlin, Maryland. And to my right is Councilmember Dean Burrell. Dean?
Hi. Councilmember Dean Burrell from District 4 in the great town of Berlin, Maryland.
So the town worked really closely with several students from Salisbury University earlier this year to become a bee city. And I think we are one of few in Maryland, Salisbury. City of Salisbury actually got to it a little bit sooner than we did. But it's an important designation for us. The town's got a very strong environmental ethic, and we have this beautiful park that we're in the process of renovating. It gives us an opportunity with that Bee City designation to really focus on the importance of pollinators, and so we'll be putting in a couple of pollinator gardens and then doing a little bit of promotion around the importance of pollinators as we move into next year and Pollinator Week.
And it is our hope that this pollinator park will help to strengthen our partnership with various entities in the community. For one, I can think about is the local schools and the library and possibly the hospital. This is an opportunity for our community.
Salisbury University Environmental Studies students helped to build bee boxes. They then painted them with the Berlin Intermediate School, and they will be placed in the park to increase native bee populations. Berlin hopes to see more collaborations with the community for the park and their Bee City certification.
Every year, as part of the Bee City designation, we'll be recognizing Pollinator Week, and it's our way of drawing awareness to the importance of pollinators. We haven't listed all the specific activities just yet, because we're still in the planning stage, but it's an opportunity for the community to come together and focus on pollinators and really what it means to help promote pollination.
According to Bee City USA, 1 in 3 bites of food we eat is courtesy of insect pollination. Equally important, 90% of all wild plants and trees rely on pollinators for the survival of their species. Because of habitat loss, poor nutrition, and pesticide use, bees and pollinators face a global decline. Small community acts like these give them a fighting chance against extinction.
And thank you, Laura and Councilman Burrell for your participation and some very supportive words for this project. And is Pollinator Week a particular week of the year?
Mm-hmm. I believe it's in June.
It's in June.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
In addition to the video, our class worked collaboratively to form a collection of potential social media posts. The collection can be used by the Town of Berlin to easily pull posts about pollinators for visibility of their Bee City certification. And I will now turn over the mic to Casey King, who will describe our class efforts to support pollinator gardens in the park and the community.
Hello, my name is Casey King, and my group designed an easy-to-follow template for pollinator gardens. Mm-hmm. This template will serve two purposes. First, we are recommending this design for use in a few proposed pollinator gardens to be located at the Berlin Falls Park. Second, we hope to make this template available to community members that are interested in creating their own do-it-yourself gardens at home. In designing the site proposal and template, we worked with different stakeholders. We began our work by meeting with David Deutsch from Berlin Falls Park Committee to identify appropriate and visible areas throughout the park. We then worked with Kate Patton, Executive Director of Lower Shore Land Trust, and Joe Lieb, Master Gardener, Beekeeper, and Active Volunteer with the Lower Shore Land Trust, to select the most successful native perennial plants for the garden beds. Dr. Jim Hatley also provided us with guidance in this process. We created a layout of plants by size, season, and colors. Using perennials, this will reduce annual maintenance costs, avoiding yearly replanting where possible. We then selected an area in the entrance of the park as an excellent spot to place raised beds because of its prominence and accessibility. We hope to see expansion of the pollinator gardens throughout the park. The town is planning to install pollinator gardens in the park as part of Take Pride in Berlin Week activities, which are scheduled for April 20th through the 27th of 2019. While it's important incorporating the pollinator gardens into highly visible and natural landscapes such as Berlin Falls Park, long-term pollinator success depends on access to pollinator plants throughout the whole community. We hope that after community members visit the Berlin Falls Park garden, they'll find inspiration to plant their own garden of their own. The template will assist residents interested in supporting pollinator health and installing their own pollinator garden. In our template, we list a mix of native perennial plants that vary, such as butterfly milkweed, pink turtlehead, and cardinal flowers, along with how to select a good garden design based on size, season, and color. It is vital to have a mix of colors and plants that range from season to season. The template should be easy to follow for community members that are new to gardening. I will now introduce Megan, who will discuss the work of the educational group.
Thank you, Casey. Again, my name is Megan Bonponi, and my group worked on the educational component for the ongoing Bee City USA efforts in Berlin. This semester, we worked to bring people together to make the town safer and healthier for pollinators by educating the community about pollinator animals. It is vital to the process of maintaining Bee City USA affiliation that the individuals in the town of Berlin understand where pollinators play a role in their community. Our goals encompass helping the people of Berlin understand the process of pollination and how they can be a part of the sustainable initiatives in the town. To this end, we have created pamphlets, which you can see on this slide. They are also available in the back of the room next to our pollinator-themed cookies. We designed
cookies?
Incentive, that's called. Incentive. Yeah.
We designed the pamphlets for handing them out at town events as well to be available in the visitor center and eventually in Berlin Falls Park. You'll also find a post-consumer bee sculpture I created to donate to the town to help support more pollinator education. In addition, we built bee boxes to create habitats for bees who help with pollination. These bee boxes are made out of logs we scavenge. We also worked with students in an after-school program at Berlin Intermediate School to decorate the boxes. We use the opportunity to discuss the importance of pollinators with the students. Finally, we worked with our student colleagues in Dr. Allison Seth's graphic design class at Salisbury University. Students in her class used the educational information we provided to propose creative, easy-to-understand designs for signs in Berlin Falls Park. Our final component includes designing smaller signs with fun facts about bees, Bee City USA, and other pollinators that we suggest placing around downtown for the community to see and engage. The educational aspects revolving in and around Bee City USA are important and exciting. We hope we have given the Berlin community a good, strong place to start and continue growing and evolving.
As you can see from our presentations, we have learned a lot over the course of the semester. As we draw to a close, I would like to highlight a few points which emerged throughout our process of working with Berlin. First, we are incredibly grateful to have been able to work with a town that is motivated and passionate about creating sustainable initiatives and spreading education on how individuals can improve their impact on this earth. We have all learned how to work as partners and communicate with certain stakeholders. Through this process, we have learned that to reach a goal, we need support from as many people as possible. Working with the town of Berlin made many of us realize how important it is to engage with the community and work with outside contributors to reach a common goal. Working with Berlin to help create a sustainable future has lifted many of our spirits and shown us how important local initiatives are. Some of these projects have the potential to be continued and even possibly completed within the next semester. As Dr. Sarah Sarak goes on to sabbatical, we are hoping to find a student to see these projects through. Finally, we would like to thank a few key partners. Our work would have not been possible without the support of everyone listed on the slide. We have provided copies of our work for everyone, and we will now take questions.
Does anyone have any questions?
Just a quick one. Did you notice that the bee boxes have been used?
They haven't been used yet.
Okay.
The ones that we created?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we provide, they're in the back, and we created them and had the students paint them, and then they can be installed next spring or whenever.
Gotcha.
Perfect.
Thank you.
And is that something, who will do that? Will that be?
Not me, I'm allergic.
Especially the bee
queen. Your queen bee is going to be taking the lead on that, Jane, in terms
okay.
of the installation.
That's right.
Pollinator gardens and the bee box.
Yeah, during Take Pride in Berlin Week and Cleanup Day, we'll
that's a perfect time, too,
yep,
in terms
plant,
of the season.
Make the gardens, plant the gardens, and also install the bee boxes.
And then we'll put together some activities for Pollinator Week.
Yes, absolutely.
Earlier next year.
I just wanted to say thank you. You guys did a great job, ladies and gentlemen.
Appreciate it.
And is it Sarah?
Sarah.
It's Rack.
Back there.
Okay. I forgot your name.
Maddie.
Thank you, Maddie. It's Maddie, Brian, Casey, and Megan?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And I think one thing is, first of all, I want to congratulate you on successfully pulling off something we've never done. I'd like to think that Berlin, for many years, has always tried to have a strong environmental ethic, and is committed to it. It's not just a one and done. I think this is another example of that, where it's a very good start, but it has potential beyond that, and it can be carried on for indefinitely. And certainly, as long as people take an interest in protecting our bee population and just understanding how all this environment works. So I congratulate you very much on that, but I also think that looking back, as you have you will have many, many, hopefully, productive years ahead of you. The thing that you have demonstrated here, and I think has become very important to our town, particularly in this century, is when you form partnerships and reach out to people to help, and the incentive is to do good things, it doesn't always have to be financial. It has its place. There's certainly things we have to do to have a strong, vital economy. But to have a truly true quality of life, you're a perfect example. And although your part of this may be short-term because you've got lives to live and you're graduating someday, nothing barred down the road, is it's the example you set that matters. So please keep this in mind. And the idea that once people are brought together, we can accomplish so much more together. And one thing I'll just throw out to you, a lot of times we face projects big and small, and we'll say, how are we ever going to get all that done? Mm-hmm. But we reach out and find good partners. We all come to the table, and putting them into a puzzle. What puzzle pieces do we have, and what do we not? And it's amazing. Once you put them together, you can quickly identify. And it's amazing. Then you identify partners, or you find collaboration that you can work together on. Collaboration is a great word in this town, by the way. But just so you know, I think that's something hopefully you'll take from this, that you'll take with you the rest of your lives. And we thank you so very much.
Thank you.
I just want to say thank you. I had an interaction with Dean, of course, because he did the film. And I found him to be prepared, knowledgeable, and very professional in our interaction, and I know his behavior mirrors you all. So thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Any other questions? Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
sure and check out the bird, the
bees.
The birds and the bees.
The birds were last.
Yeah, the birds were last. It is a birds and bees kind of thing.
It is.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, next on our agenda, 4B, is presentation, as we do each year, of the 2018 fiscal year audit by BKS and Associates. And even though we all know you, you'll just introduce yourself, and we'll go from there.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Mike Klager. A partner with PKS and Company, and joining me this evening is Leslie Michalik, who has been the manager on the town's audit for a number of years now. We have previously delivered reviewed a draft of the financial statements with Laura and Natalie, and our purpose this evening is to present the final audit results, mention some of the key highlights, and then, of course, answer any questions you might have. I believe you've had a chance to had the financial statements at least since Friday, I hope, since give you an opportunity to look at them. But, of course, if there's any questions subsequent to the meeting that we need to address, feel free to contact us. I'd like to start with the large bound copy of the financial statements and go through some of the audit reports and mention what they mean and what they state. So I'll start on page 1 through 3, which is the independent auditor's report on the financial statements. Page 1 covers management's responsibility for the preparation and the fair presentation of the statements, and also our responsibility as auditors for the expressing an opinion on those financial statements that they're in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. So that's pages 1 and the top of page 2. The most important paragraph in there is really the middle paragraph, which is our opinion on those financial statements. And I'm happy to report that our opinion, once again, on the town's financial statements for the year ended June 30th, 2018, is unmodified, and this is also referred to as a clean opinion and as the highest level of assurance that we can provide as auditors. an unmodified opinion means that financial statements present fairly the financial position of the town in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. The next report I want to mention is on page 48. And this is a report only on the supplemental information behind the basic financial statements. And this is also an opinion paragraph. And it's an opinion on schedules which are not required by generally accepted accounting principles, but are additional information that we present. So we are required to give an opinion on that as well, and that's essentially an unmodified or clean opinion on the supplementary information. The next report is on 55 and 56. this is a report on internal controls of the town and compliance matters. Unlike the previous reports I mentioned, this is not an opinion on internal controls, but it basically states that based on the results of our audit testing that we performed, that we did not find any material weaknesses in controls or any compliance issues to report based on that testing. So that's a little bit different than the previous two reports I mentioned. So that's basically the reports that are in the financial package, and then I'm going to turn it over to Leslie to kind of go through some of the financial highlights.
So I'm going to start with the town's general fund. For the year ended June 30th, 2018, the general fund had total revenues of $5,955,000, total expenditures of $7,756,000. They contributed $50,000 to the stormwater fund, had a small gain on the sale of some assets of $5,700. So they end of the year with a decrease in the general fund of $1,845,000. If we look at the general fund revenues, total revenues for the year were $5,955,000. The largest source of revenues of the town is property taxes, which make up 52% of your general fund revenues. Other significant sources of revenues are intergovernmental or grant revenues, which are 20% of your total revenues, and service charges from the enterprise funds of 13% of your total revenues. If we compare revenues this year to last year, revenues actually decreased by $243,000 or 4%. General fund expenditures. Total expenditures for the year were $7,756,000. Largest area of expenditures, excluding capital outlay, is public safety department, which is 27% of your total expenditures. General government or administration makes up 18% of your total expenditures, and public works is 14%. For the year, capital outlay expenses were $2,302,000, which is 30% of your total expenditures in the general fund. The largest part of this expenditure was for the completion of the police department facility and the new furnishings. Also included in there is the completion of the bathroom building at Henry Park, a couple of new vehicles, and improvements to Baker Street. If we compare expenditures this year and last year, expenditures increased $316,000 or 4% over the prior year. So if we look at your general fund balance, at the end of the year, you had a fund balance of $5,255,000. You'll see that some of that, about $1.5 million, is either restricted, committed, or earmarked for other expenses, which leaves $3,725,000 as unassigned or available fund balance. This represents 5 3/4 months of average daily expenditures. So this next graph shows the fund balance for the previous 5 years, and then it also projects the balance of your fund balance at the end of 2019. So that you'll see from, I'm sure you noticed, from 2016 to 2018, the fund balance has decreased from the high of $8.4 million down to its current balance of $5.25 million. So the reason for this is during 2017 and 2018, the town's annual budget used prior year surplus funds largely to finance capital projects. Now, if we looked ahead to 2019, in your 2019 budget, you budgeted $1.5 million of additional surplus funds. So this could potentially reduce your general fund balance to $3.7 million at the end of 2019. So I did want to point out that it's essential for the town to maintain an adequate level of a general fund balance. It helps you to mitigate current and future future risks such as revenue shortfalls, unanticipated expenditures. It also helps you to stabilize your tax rate. So you want to work very hard to not continually chip away at your fund balance so that it reaches an unhealthy level. So in our audit this year, yes, in the next page, we did make a recommendation for the town to establish a formal policy that sets the level of the unrestricted fund balance below which you would not want to go. Now, the Government Finance Officers Association recommends a balance no less than 60 days of general operating expenses. However, for most governments, including the town of Berlin, realistically, you need a significantly higher fund balance than that two-month minimum. So you need to look at the characteristics, the unique characteristics of the town and your circumstances, look at some of your history, and look ahead at your plans, and you need to come up with and develop what the right number is for you to maintain a balance in the general fund.
Now, Leslie, if I may ask, typically you do audits for other municipalities, correct? Yes. What do you typically see with a municipality our size for an adequate reserve if we wanted to kind of see what a benchmark might be? 6 months, 8 months, a year?
6 months. They're kind of all over the the spectrum. Like I said, it kind of needs to deal with with the particulars of the town. You need to look at how consistent your revenues and expenses are from year to year. You have to look at your vulnerabilities and your risks. The risk of damage from a hurricane or flooding,
right,
and all. So it's not. It's really a kind of a case by case basis, and I don't know that there's a standard.
There's no right answer, really.
It's a hard.
It really needs to be developed by each region or municipality as to what
and
the right answer is.
And I would think we may even have a little bit more risk than some, since we operate our own power plant.
Exactly.
That would be part of it. If I could just add that, sure. Leslie mentioned the Government Finance Officers Association. They actually have a couple of risk management tools on their website that we can use to help assess the correct level of reserves.
Yeah, I think there's one specifically on fund balance.
Yeah, so we'll be using those tools to work on this
particular
recommendation.
Before the next budget?
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you.
I didn't hear what Zach said. Before the next what?
Before the next
budget.
Okay.
Which is like around the corner.
Yeah, it's close.
We're working on that schedule now.
So we want to move on to the enterprise or utility funds. The electric fund had operating income of $776,000 for the year. After we deduct interest expense and some other non-operating costs, the electric fund had an increase in net position of $608,000 compared to an increase of $130,000 in the prior year. The electric fund ended the year with a net position of $2,729,000. Almost $2 million of that is your investment in property, plant, and equipment, and $749,000 is your unrestricted net position. The water fund had a loss, operating loss of $350,000, collected special connection fees of $207,000, and which resulted in a decrease in net position of $139,000 for the year. The fund ended the year with a net position of $3,038,110. The sewer fund had an operating loss of $916,000, had some interest expense and other non-operating expenses, collected special connection fees of $572,000, and had a decrease in net position of $568,000. The sewer fund ended the year with a net position of $13,272,000. $16 million is invested in property, plant, and equipment. The $635,000 is restricted, which is the accumulation of the unpaid special connection fees. So you actually had an unrestricted deficit in the sewer fund of $3,503,000. And then finally is the stormwater fund, which had an operating loss of $142,000. They did receive capital grants of $972,000, which were used for flood and drainage projects, a transfer from the general fund of $50,000, which resulted in an increase in net position of $879,000. And the stormwater fund ended the year with a net position of $2,469,000. So one of the things I do want to point out related to specifically the sewer fund and to a lesser extent the stormwater fund, because the fund has had operating losses over the last several years, the cash being generated in these funds has not been sufficient to cover the operating expenses, the debt service, and the capital costs. So they've been forced to borrow funds from the general fund. And you'll see here's the 4 years of this amount that is due from the sewer fund and the stormwater fund to the general fund. And you'll see at the end of, at June 30, 2018, that number has reached $3,918,000. It's really gone up over the last 2 years, about $1 million each year to reach that point. And also remember that this is shown as a liability of the utility funds, but if we go back to the general fund balance, it's an accounts receivable or an asset of the general fund, so it's included in that general fund balance. That $3.9 million is included in
so
there.
That's one of our concerns, really, is because the fact that those funds have not generated enough cash flow to pay those funds back. So when you're looking, you say, well, I've got a $3.7 million in unreserved fund balance in my general fund. Well, most of that's tied up in these two operating funds here. So realistically, there's really not enough cash there to pay this back. Then there's a question as to whether, you know, how you're going to handle this thing. So to us, those are kind of critical issues, getting those couple of enterprise funds at least to a break even, where we're not putting in $1 million a year to try to fund those operations. So. You could quickly run out of your so-called fund balance in the general fund by these funds not being able to repay what they owe the general fund. So I just wanted to point that out.
Mike, don't we also have about $10 million in long-term debt liabilities?
Yes. Yes,
for the sewer fund?
Just the stormwater, yes, the sewer fund, and some, I guess, the electric fund still has some balances as well. But it's actually generating some cash flow there.
So but we're
and that's part of where the $1 million is going to, is to pay those operating principal and interest payments, those long-term capital debts that you mentioned.
So now taking on more debt for that water or the sewer department would not be wise?
Well, until you can generate operations enough to pay for that debt, I think that's what you've got to deal with first.
The bottom line is that we have to look at the fee structures, even if we don't do another thing.
I mean, it's got to come from someplace.
Impossible with the water,
revenues,
the water lines
or
break down,
control of expenditures. There's only two sources. You're exactly right. You got to look at the both sides, not just the expenditure side, but the revenue side as well.
Yeah,
I agree.
I think that's I think that is to say generally about the entire budget. You have to look
at
all the revenues and see what we can adjust and what we can't.
Right.
How we?
Because it's been pretty dramatic the last couple of years. Yeah. So that's why we wanted to kind of point these things out tonight.
Well, we just had, you know, the recommendations, which Mike, just to reiterate kind of what Mike had said, is you really need to look at this $3.9 million and determine whether the town has the ability and the intent to pay those back. And for any amounts that you do intend to pay back, we would recommend that you have some kind of repayment plan specified, you know, the amount you're going to pay back, where the funds are going to come from, and a schedule of the payments. Mm-hmm. Anything that can't be paid back in a reasonable amount of time, you may want to consider making a transfer between funds. Now, a transfer between funds would increase the fund balance in one fund and decrease the fund balance in the other fund.
From a practical standpoint, we have to try to make sure that, again, we're talking about sewer fees and stormwater fees, which are both utility fees, and we have in the general fund the primary source is property tax. So I think our goal is to make sure that one is not subsidizing the other. And in the past couple of years, it shows that really for both of these funds, they're being subsidized at a greater and greater level by the general fund.
Well, in addition to that, the general fund has had a substantial amount of capital improvements, obviously the last couple of years with the police department. But, you know, if you look at the last 3 years, you've averaged about $2 million a year in capital expenditures out of the general fund. The 3 years prior to that, we went back and looked, and it was averaging somewhere around $450,000 to $500,000 a year. So it's not just these two funds that we're talking about. It's also capital expenditures coming out of general fund that's used a considerable amount of cash flow and fund balance over the last few years. So it really comes from both sides.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing is that, from my own personal perspective, it's something I started talking about at the early part of this year,
right,
publicly and in the papers
and
so forth. And nobody ever wants to hear it, but we either have to stop fixing things that some of these things are 100 years old at least.
A lot of times do this. They'll put off capital expenditures to the point where they're forced to do certain things because it's the nature of the town. You eventually have to replace these things. So it does happen. There's no question about that. But the last 3 years have been very high in capital expenditures compared to the previous 3 years before that.
Yeah. And I just say, I'm not surprised because, that's one of the things, that's why I at least have tried to plant the seed that we have to look at, okay, if we want to, I haven't had anybody say, please postpone fixing my street. Please.
Right.
Nobody says, I'll wait. But it's
you got to find a way to pay for it, though.
We as a community, and as mayor and council primarily, we have to decide, what level fees and utilities and what level property taxes will support what people, you know, either desperately need or really want. And that's going to be the very interesting part of this year's budget process. And also we're going to be encouraging public input because we want people to know. I mean, we are very transparent.
Sure.
But we've been meeting critical needs. And I go back to that first slide, or one of the first slides, where, you know, our greatest obligation is public safety. Well, we have, over a long period of time, been negotiating, and it's just this one, we had a new police station, which needed replacing when I was young, right? So it's been a long time. And we got that squared away. And we've gotten some other major utilities and upgrades in some of our streets that were dire straight. Now we're in decent shape. We've got, you know, still not what
There's
we need to be, but
to be
much better than we were.
Sure.
And then the other part is that we've got, you know, our electric utility, quite frankly, was a little scary where it was about 8 years
not
ago.
Not many years ago.
Yeah, right. Many years ago. Now it's in very good shape.
Right.
So I think the key now is that we as a community have to discuss what level of service do you want to maintain. And I'll give you another example of public safety. After a long period of negotiations and discussions, we found that we needed to increase our funding for emergency medical services, EMS. Well, this, again, temporarily is coming from prior year surplus, but you can't keep doing that. So I just point that out because this is a discussion first, obviously, you know, but it would be more than the budget process.
Sure.
And I think that we're looking forward to having some very good community conversations about, okay, where's the balance?
Right.
And I don't think it's all one or all the other. I do think it's somewhere in between, and we'll figure it out.
Okay.
But we appreciate that. We appreciate having the information because that's where it all begins.
Okay. Very good.
So just like saying, you know, the books and the records of the town are in good shape. We didn't run into any difficulties in performing our audit. And as always, Natalie and the rest of the accounting staff were well prepared and responsive to all our questions and inquiries. So we appreciate all their help.
Good. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you all very much.
I have another question.
Yeah, sure.
The collection rate for our utilities, how are we on that? I noticed it was like $104,000 in uncollected fees. Let me see if I can find my page quickly.
The last year.
And then I noted, page 24.
Yeah.
Says provision is made for estimated uncollectible water, sewer, electric, and stormwater. And it says town's determination of individual accounts not likely to be collected as of June 30th, 2018 was $18,462 from the general fund.
We did increase the allowance this year. The collection rate is in the like low 90s. The calculation that we do is about 90%.
Right.
We did increase the allowance this year because there was a good fair number of old stagnant accounts that have been sitting there for a long time and have not had any collections on it. So we did increase the allowance for potentially uncollectible accounts.
Yeah, I don't recall what that balance was last year.
Yeah,
it's at $104,000 now, it looks like.
Yeah, to offset the fact that you may not collect some of these old accounts.
Now, with other municipalities, are we on par with our collection rate, or are we below our collection rate? Where do we stand?
I think you're pretty consistent with most of the other
towns
that
I work with. It
doesn't
appear to be out of line.
Yeah, no.
Thank you.
Anybody have any other questions or comments?
Oh, actually, I have one last one.
Sure.
The discount rate for the pension system. I noticed that if it's at 7.5, if it were to go to 6.5, is that phased in? Page again, I'm sorry. Page 42, pension actuarial assumptions.
Well, actually, I think the next page kind of shows you what would happen to that.
Right.
Liability if it were to drop to 6.5.
But is that a phased in?
No,
that's
I don't believe
all
it is. Right. So it's a year-to-year kind of estimation of the discount rate. And I think it's been 7.5 for a long time. But you know,
I noticed some other places were dropping.
Yeah, they were dropping. And a lot of those, I mean, they're driven by the actuaries,
right,
who do actually determine that. But on page 43, it'll tell you if it decreased by 1%, what the effect of the liability would be. It would increase it from 3.1 to 4.7 million. But actually, I believe your liability went down this year.
Okay.
If you looked at, I think there's a trend report somewhere in here.
The 2020 rates have been released, and they actually went down.
They did drop them?
Just a very small amount.
7.3, yep. I think.
Yeah, they've had it at 7.5 for quite a while. But on page 46, kind of shows you what your liability trend has been since 2015. I think even those 4 years is a 7.5%. So your liability has gone from 2.3 million in 15 up to 3.1, but you can see it dropped to about 400,000 in the 2 years, 17-18.
I just didn't know if that was phased in or if that was all.
No, it would be immediate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you again.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any other questions, comments? Thank you so much for your presentation
and
all
you
your
all.
Time.
Appreciate it.
And we look forward to working with you for another
thank
year.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. All right, next we're now on agenda item 4C, and we have with us tonight Comcast Director of Government Affairs, Chris Comer. And Chris, come right on up. And first of all, good to Chris is here to talk to us about the franchise agreement, which has been up in the air for, I guess, almost a year or three quarters of a year, something like that. And for a variety of reasons, including the fact that we had a lot more going on than ever, we're now getting down to the point where we want to get the agreements squared away. And in the process, this fall, Comcast provided all the technical and all the equipment and personnel to create a very, very nice, at least in our opinion, updated video on the town of Berlin. And do you want to show that?
You want to show that first?
Yeah, and that way everybody can see it, because I don't think there's been any debuts, so this is
it. Thank you, Mr.
We have it on our website.
But yeah, it's on the website, but I'm not sure how many people go and look for it at this point.
Berlin, the charm, the hospitality, the small town charm is really what people like. A lot of our visitors are from bigger cities, and there's kind of a nostalgia that you get when you come to Berlin. Everybody speaks to you on the street, and everybody is very pleasant, and you don't find that everywhere.
It's the family. It's still a hometown, a small town. We're still, even though we're near a big resort, we're still a small town, and we still have that small town, that country feel.
The people, the owner, they're very nice, they're friendly, you know, they treat you as a family when you come down here, you know. Everybody's really, really nice down here.
Berlin is unique because of its diversity, because of its true to history. It hasn't changed much over the years as far as the look of the town.
Berlin is one that actually either reaches back to the 1800s with the rich history of the Civil War and the growths and the people that actually came from that time and period.
We've been through one major economic crisis at the end of the Civil War, and here we were after post-World War II in another economic crisis because, again, businesses were moving away, as were population. In the 1960s and early 70s, when most communities were growing, we were actually losing population.
The Atlantic Hotel is the heartbeat of Berlin. By the 80s, the owners of the hotel at that time were going to have the hotel demolished.
Well, like everything else, it wasn't just government. It was the whole community that transformed into what became the town of Berlin.
10 business families were all willing to put up $100,000 each with no expectation of getting that money back or of garnering any profits from that. So they put this hotel back together the way it was in 1895 with all kinds of attention to detail. They brought in a fine chef. They had fine dining. They reopened the bar. They redid the rooms. There's 17 rooms here. It's like a little museum. Berlin then began to revive a little bit.
It's the atmosphere. I think it's the group of people that work together. The townspeople and the merchants all work very well, and it's a very friendly environment. There's different shops here, which is nice, a variety, and there's great restaurants. And then some places have music. We have music here a couple nights a week, but you've got everything here. And anything you want is here now, which is nice.
You're two steps away from the beach. You're a stone's throw away from Assateague. And Snow Hill is the quaint little villages you get to visit and come back to. We are so close to Salisbury and all the other bigger metropolitan hubs that, again, in less than 2 hours, you can go ahead and be in D.C. and Philadelphia and those type of places. To go ahead and have a town that actually has events, free things, and places to eat and people to go ahead and greet, green spaces to go ahead and there have fun. We actually have four parks that we have an opportunity to go ahead and utilize.
We have just begun embarking on the development of Berlin Falls Park, a 62-acre tract that will be complement, not compete with either downtown or our other beautiful parks that are more traditional.
Where we go from here, you know, we're seeing a shift from some of the professional offices to boutiques and retail. And so I see some of that happening, you know. There's a lot of traffic that retail can benefit from.
In the future, I would see more growth. It just can only get better.
We love living here in Berlin, and it's just the best place to live and to work and play.
You just got to see it. It's hard to describe. You got to see it for yourself. You got to come in and feel the uniqueness of the town. Got to love Berlin.
That's awesome. No, it's a great video, and I have to say, you know, we look at our partnership with the town. And we're happy to be able to give back. I remember when I met the mayor and we were talking about the anniversary, this just seemed like a good way for us to help give back to the community. And certainly our employees live and work in the area, and so we're happy that we could continue that partnership.
Well, we thank you very much. And thank you. Like I say, it's an outstanding job. And I want to thank Ivy Wells and for helping to coordinate those interviews. And just it was a very good partnership. And I think it just shows, again, like I was talking to those young folks earlier, when you reach out and everybody brings what they can to the table, it's amazing what you can do.
No, and Berlin's a great town, and I'm happy to, you know, whenever I can come back and visit, I'm always happy to do that.
Bring your credit card.
I was telling someone I stopped by the World of Toys before I came over to the meeting tonight, and cool. Did just that. So.
Good. Thank you. Thank you very much. Please pass. I know we've certainly sent emails and a bit of thanks, but please pass that on to your
I will definitely do that, and thank you. We appreciate it.
Good.
And as the mayor mentioned, I have a presentation. I don't want to go through every piece of information that's in here, but I just want to at least make it available to you and see if you have any questions. I'll highlight just a few parts as we go through it. But I started covering the Eastern Shore probably 4 years ago. In fact, I was looking at my calendar, and I actually came and did a quick introductory meeting at the council back in October of 4 years ago. So it's right around the time when my predecessor Tom Worley retired, and I kind of started covering the area for him. So it's been I've learned a lot in that time. I still have a lot to learn, and I keep telling my wife, you know, Berlin's a great place to come live. So that being said, we have the franchise agreement with the town. A lot of towns forget they even have a franchise agreement. It's one of these contracts that comes up every 10 or 15 years. And as long as things are working, no one really thinks about it. And so hopefully if you haven't had any major issues, if you had, I try to make myself available so that I can be on hand whenever you need me. I started work with Comcast back in 2000, March of 2000. At that time, I remember thinking, can't be that complicated. There's 40 cable channels. You know, it can't be that much to it. And had no idea what I was getting into. At that time, we were just upgrading our networks, extending fiber out to communities so that we had this hybrid coax fiber system. You may recall years and years ago, the cable systems were one-way communication. We changed that so it's two ways. So as part of that investment, millions of dollars throughout the area that we invested in upgrading those networks, we were able to offer all the products and services that we offer today. And I'll try and remember to click on this as I go through. But just one bullet note that I like to point to that kind of talks to how we've evolved from just being that basic cable company. So today, the networks that Kent supports the delivery of 136 million emails, 142 million phone calls, and 15 million on-demand views every day. So it really is tremendous how much engineering goes into that. And I don't fully understand everything that makes it happen, but it really is impressive. The franchise agreement, as I mentioned, gives us the right to use the town's right-of-way to have our cable infrastructure in it so that we can serve the residents of the town. As you mentioned, the agreement expired a few years ago, so we're hoping that in this coming year, 2019, that we'll be able to renew the contract. It's worth pointing out that the contract is non-exclusive. Sometimes that comes up. Doesn't prohibit anyone else from coming in and offering cable service. So I know sometimes you'll get questions about that. I just want to share that. It also only applies to cable service, and sometimes that comes up. That's per the state and the federal government. So you won't see in the franchise agreement any reference to broadband or home security or telephone service. All that stuff's regulated differently. So I just wanted to point that out. Briefly, there's a Federal Cable Act. It outlines the franchise renewal process. There's two ways of renewing. It can be an informal sit-down negotiations, and that's how we do the vast majority of our franchise renewals. However, there is a formal process that's laid out as well. If for some reason we can't come to some agreement informally, then we reserve that right to go through the formal process. And sometimes I run into towns and they're like, well, do we really have to do this? What happens if we don't do it? And again, we do need that legal right to be in the right of way. And so one way or the other, we have to make sure that we continue to have that right. Here's just some key areas that are covered in the franchise agreement and the draft agreement that we provided. It's a 10-year agreement. There's actually an option where you can shorten it to 5 years. So if something comes up in the first 2 years where the town has an issue that's not covered under the franchise, then you can shorten the agreement and we can address that in the new agreement. There's standard construction and maintenance requirements, repairing the streets, restoring the town's right away. There's incorporates the FCC technical standards and customer service standards that are carried out. There's also, we pay a franchise fee to the town. That's 5% of gross revenues. My note here is the last franchise fees, it was just over $89,000 per year in franchise fees. We also provide free service to the schools, town hall, any other town government buildings within the town limits. There's an enforcement provision and insurance requirements where we carry $1 million in insurance. There's a level playing competitive equity provision. So if for some reason another provider did come into town, we'd want to make sure we were operating under the same kind of rules, same material terms as someone else. So if they didn't have to pay a franchise fee, then obviously we'd want to make sure we didn't have to pay a franchise fee. There's also something called PEG. It's Public Education Government Channel. So for the town, we carry a channel, and so that new franchise continues that. There's a performance bond of $25,000. So, for example, if there's ever an issue, then the town reserves the right to draw on that performance bond. And then I've just got to note, there's over the past few years, there's a list of franchises here that I've worked on myself to renew. So obviously, sometimes talking to your counterparts and peers is a great resource. Snow Hill is one of the franchises we did a few years ago. I'm sure if you talk to their town, I would hope if you talk to their town, that they're happy with the agreement and that they haven't had any issues or there's nothing they'd want to go back and change. But there's some other towns here that you're welcome to reach out to.
Chris, before you go on,
sure.
For the insurance and the are we an additional insured? I know with Chesapeake we were
Yes.
Labeled as an additional insured under the policy.
And then there's also something, indemnification. And I'm not a lawyer, but
maybe
someone can explain it better. But there's also where we'll indemnify the town if there's ever any issues.
Thank
you. So just talking about the capital expense that you put in for the water and sewer and electric, we certainly appreciate that. We continue to invest in our network. I think today, there's more competition than we've ever had in the industry. Our business continues to evolve, so it's we continue to make those investments, whether it's improving the speeds of the internet, the number of channels we're carrying, the different products that are available, or if it's just improving upon the customer experience. So we're doing the best job that we can, and that's something that we've really have tried to focus on over the past few years. And just again briefly, this is a chart just compares 2012 versus 2017. If you look on demand, back then it was 36,000. Now it's 130,000. Internet speeds went from 300 megs to over a gig today available. We had 100,000 Wi-Fi hotspots. Today we have actually 19 million. So working on network reliability, offering new products, trying to stay relevant to our customers, something we continue to do. And then on the customer service, when I started, you'd have all day appointments if you had to get in to schedule something. Now we've narrowed it down to from 4 hours to 2 hours if you need to schedule a service call. We also have something, we're a tech tracker, where you can look to see where your it's almost like Uber, where's your technician, and kind of know when they're coming. So if you need to slip out for something, you can do that. As far as technicians arriving, we have a 97% on-time arrival rate, and that's so it's something we've continued to work towards. We've expanded our digital care, so today people are looking for new ways to reach out. So whether it's tweeting that they're having a problem, or Facebook that they're having a problem, there's a number of ways that if they want to instant chat with us, with our customer call team, they can do that instead of calling. So again, we're continuing to try and stay relevant. And we think we're making progress. The last note I'll leave on is that last year we had 7 million fewer calls coming into our service center with service issues. So hopefully we're on the right track. We realize there's still more work to do, but we think we're heading in the right direction. And I hope I didn't take too much of your time, but I appreciate the opportunity just to come meet with everyone and reintroduce myself. And as you go through the draft process or the renewal process, if you ever have any questions about what's this or what's that, feel free to reach out to me, and I'll be glad to help out.
And we thank you very much for your presentation. And
thank you, sir.
As you learned about Berlin, our town administrator, Laura Allen, is the point person on this franchise agreement renewal. And Laura, why don't you tell the council a little bit about what the next steps are, because I think we're all, there's some work to still be done.
Yeah, right now we're looking for a consultant to help us with the franchise renewal to just give us a little bit of guidance on the agreement itself to make sure that we're not missing anything. Typically, and I think Chris mentioned this, usually they're like 10, sometimes 15-year agreements. So I think it's worth spending a little money to make sure, gets a little expertise in to make sure that we're getting a good deal for that level of duration, because you want to look at it probably again for 10, maybe 15 years.
And from a layman's point of view, are there any significant changes in terms of policies, of commitments, or services between the agreement that we're currently on and the new one?
No, we've tried to make it as consistent as we can. I'll be honest, I took over in the fall of 2014. I think at the time we had a director of franchises that sent out just a template agreement, mm-hmm. without tailoring it, kind of reviewing what was in the current agreement. Since then, we've tried to address that, and so hopefully, it's consistent or if not better than the current agreement. But we're happy to continue to work on that and address any concerns the town
has. That's what I'm saying. I think here we just there's some stuff that depends, especially with the comfort level with technical issues varies greatly.
Yep, no, I understand.
And I think we all like to have a independent advice
But I do also think that it's our intention to get squared away as soon as we're all comfortable and know to the best of our ability what we're doing.
The way I look at it is they do this every day, day in, day out. We only do it every once in a while, so I think it's worth making sure that we're getting the right deal.
But I think there is a commitment that, we've had a lot on our plate. I don't think it's going to go down dramatically, but this is now at the very top. So
that's all I can ask, sir. Any help in making it a priority for 2019 is greatly appreciated.
I think it's the right time, and we'll look forward to completing the process. And of course, obviously, you all know each other. Mm-hmm. Only a phone call away, or all the other ways: texting, email.
And again, I'm here. Our employees are here. Even once the franchise is done, if there's something I can do to be of help, if there's ever something, sure, questions that come up, if there's a constituent issue, that's all part of my job, and I'm happy to help out.
Great.
Well, again, I appreciate
Chris, thank you so much for your coming down, and we're looking forward to seeing more of you, and not always on business.
No,
yeah, just remember that credit card, and you'll have a lot of fun.
My daughters love Berlin. They're always glad to come back with me. And,
okay.
It really is a great town that you have, and I'm proud that it's part of my area. And, thank you, and again, best wishes for
you. Thank you.
Have a great holiday.
Happy holidays. Yeah.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda is item 5, which is a motion to approve YMCA feasibility study.
Mayor, I think you may have an older version of the agenda.
I may.
Because we had taken that off.
We take that out? Okay. Yeah, I do have an older version.
So now we're in departmental reports.
Oh, okay. So that's fine. I'll move things right along. Okay, that looks like we're coming up in the new year.
That's January.
Yeah, January. January's fine. Good. All right. Next, our departmental reports. We'll start with Finance Director Natalie Salee.
Good evening. I have one little announcement. Tomorrow in the utility bills, we will be sending a letter from Mayor and Council about Energy Assistance Fund. Inclusively will be added a prepaid stamped envelope that addressed to Bank of Ocean City. So in the past, we have established a program, and we have collected almost $64,000 in total for 9 years and distributed back to the community to assist with the bills through the difficult time, through the holidays. So the way it works, the residents and not residents people who don't live here, they will mail a donation, which is a totally tax deductible on their personal level on the tax return, and then the town matches it dollar to dollar. So last year we have collected $3,600 from the residents, and we have matched, so $7,200 went to the Shore Up MIP assistance.
Shore Up actually
determine who receives the assistance. We do not decide. So the citizens will apply for assistance and they will receive, but this is on the top of what they have available as a program. So the monies that we contribute, it goes additionally to the residents. So the letter will be going, and I'll just encourage to pass it on information, and hopefully we can beat the numbers from last year.
Great. Thank you. Any questions for Natalie?
Quick question. You said that was a pre-stamped envelope that was going out so that they could mail back?
I think so. I'll check. You're making me doubt right now. I believe so.
Okay. But it usually comes that way. That's my recollection.
It doesn't have an actual stamp. It has the...
A meter. Is it BRE? Is it business reply envelope?
Yes.
Yeah.
Business reply?
Mm-hmm. They can carry it to the bank or they can mail.
The postage is prepaid.
It's almost look like the utility bill wiggly stamp. It's not an actual stamp.
Can I see one this evening, Barley? Because you're mailing out 2,200 of those?
Well, it's more than that.
25?
That's close to 4,500.
Yeah. So if it's something that's live, it's a little bit over $2,000 in postage that we're sending out. Not everybody's sending it back. That's why I want to be sure what it is.
All right, I'll check on that.
Yeah, please, thank you. That'd be great.
Thank you. Very good. All right, next is Administrative Services Director Mary Boland.
I
I don't have anything to report this evening.
Okay, thank you. Next is Water Resources and Public Works Director Jane Kreider.
Good evening. I just wanted to say that we were very thankful we didn't get the snow they got in the south, but we were prepared and ready to plow and salt if it got up this far north. So we're ready for the bad weather. Hopefully it'll hold off.
Yes,
until April.
Yeah. Good. Thank you. Any questions for Jane? Anyone?
Yes. Can we get a year end, our next meeting in January, of where we stand on the EDUs and on the thresholds that we've either approached or are approaching with the wastewater treatment?
Sure. So I do that every.
I thought so, but I couldn't remember.
Every year, anyway, I have to send it to MDE, so I'll just include it in your account.
Is January roughly the right time for you to do that, or you do it sort of?
I think it's January.
It's January. Yeah, it's due by March 1st, but I always do it in January.
Perfect, yeah.
Thank you.
Next is Electric Utility Director Tim Lawrence. Oh, we talked to him. He's in Kansas City. He's in Kansas City.
He's checking on his bucket truck.
Yeah. And next is Police Chief Arnold Dowling.
Good evening, everyone. I would say the parade was a great success.
Get you to it again.
We can't thank our law enforcement partners and all the volunteers that came out. We certainly could never, never do it all by ourselves. And we definitely want to say thank you to Ocean City Police Department, Sheriff's Department, Pocomoke, and to Worcester County Sheriff's Office, Mount State Police, for all their assistance. This year we didn't have any fights, nothing unruly, so it was very successful in our eyes and what we do. There were a couple accidents, and we're going to sit down with all of our department heads and review what went well and why it went well and any tweaking that might need to be done, because planning for the parade starts
right now.
Well, it's fresh in everybody's mind.
Thursday afternoon, right? Department director's meeting, 1 o'clock.
Yeah. 1 o'clock.
Good.
Shop with a Cop is going to be sponsored by the Cricket Center for Saturday. We're going to be with our law enforcement partners to go ahead and make Christmas a great time for at least 25 young kids in the area for shopping spree at Walmart. We're going to go pull out with the dogs and Officer for Every Child, the MSP bus, and hopefully we're going to have a wonderful day that day. I know it's going to be a day that the kids themselves won't forget. We also have, or I have, Police Advisory Committee at the Eastern Shore Criminal Justice Academy on tomorrow, and we're different things we're doing at Academy and how we can do those things better also.
Great. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And again, we're very fortunate that when we have these very special events with so many visitors, I feel like there's a lot of public safety presence, but without being intimidated. You know, I think that there's a nice balance there. And of course, it was very cold, but it was, I think, very warmly received. People just seem to be in such good spirits, and that's nice to see. It really, really, really is. So thank you. Thank all your officers and everyone in the department, and we'll go from there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next is Planning Director Dave Englehart.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. At our last meeting in November, you had asked me to contact the State Highway Authority about Seahawk Road and the Ocean's East development. And it's as I thought, since Seahawk Road is our road, at the entrance there, they hadn't reviewed and approved anything. State Highway had reviewed and approved the intersection with Route 50 when they widened that intersection and they added the turn lane. That was on the developer of Ocean's East. But we had a site meeting in the fall that wasn't attended by all the site contractors and the paving contractors. Well, we had one today on site, Jamie Latcham from Water Resources and Public Works and I, and representatives of our engineers, DBF. So we met with the site contractor and the paving contractor. There was four of them there, four different individuals on their part. And we got, Jamie, actually, I got to give him credit because he stood up for the town forcefully and said it was unacceptable what was there as far as the condition of the road surface. So we walked the whole thing. It was a nice warm day to do that. And they came up with a two-part solution. In some areas of it, if you look down it, you can see the ripply condition of the road. There's a system to heat the road and roll it out perpendicular to the road surface. You know, if the road's going this way, they roll it this way. If that does not solve the problem to our satisfaction, then they would mill an overlay. In other words, they'd be ripping the road up and redoing it. So, but either one of those solutions, we'll wait till the spring when we have warmer weather. But also, I guess, that phase one of the whole development, the rest of the apartment buildings, would be further along by then. So we'll be closer to completion of phase one. So that's what we all agreed upon, on site today. And I have notes from DBF, our reviewing engineer for that. As far as putting in, there was some talk in the last meeting also, some kind of curving in the middle of Seahawk Road. State Highway, of course, didn't review it, but they didn't think that was necessary. They're aware of what we put there. The striping is adequate. One of the things we could do is a situation where you have the reflective bumpers like we had, on 113. And
we're not going back to that.
I raised hell
with them about that.
We're not going back to that.
That's not an option.
Okay, but it was offered as an option.
I know it was. Whatever's cheapest is always going to be offered.
Mm-hmm. Well,
we're not looking for cheap. We're looking for effective. I'm sorry. It's just,
understood.
And believe me, if you need some support, I know myself, Councilman Burrell, whoever, we'll be glad to support that. This is maybe we are experiencing the future now. Gotta figure these folks don't live right here. They say, the schools are only in session part of three quarters of the year. They're only used during the daytime. No, it's all changed, and it's only because of not only the growth of Oceans East, but the growth in East Berlin in general. I mean, it's a growing, dynamic place, and we just can't accept solutions from the distant past. And I know it's easy, but we've got an opportunity to get it right.
This would be a solution for us to determine because it's our road.
Okay, but basically, we don't need permission, but we just need to let them know what we're doing. Good. So is this something that we need to discuss in making sure we have the assets in the next year's budget, or is it something we might be able to address in this year? I don't know.
It's something for the developer to consider, because when his project was being considered, he sat there and promised us that traffic would go out of that development and would have only one way in and one way out. And like the mayor said, we're not looking for cheap, we're looking for effective. And the curbs in the middle of the highway need to be put back on the berm, because that is the only way to ensure that traffic goes the way in which it was planned. Because I have seen and watched people make that U-turn.
Yeah, but more recently, and I don't know if you've noticed or seen it, they had put a raised curving and a peninsula off of that, so you can't turn in there as well. And that seems to have done the trick. But I don't know. I'm not standing there all day observing the traffic, so it's still possible to make that turn. But it's a lot more difficult over the last 2 months since they did that.
If you make that U-turn coming out of the Peninsula Regional Medical Center down in Ocean Pines, if you make that U-turn, you tear your car up. Because they got the pavement in the middle of the street.
Yep.
And needless to say, that U-turn is not made.
That's right. I think there's something that we're if somebody rather familiar with the area or not, would just going to say that's just not worth the damage or the potential damage that will be done to a car. I just think the days when you can just draw a stripe for something that's not a traditional, everyday traffic pattern, it's just not realistic. There's too many people who are guests. There's too many people, you know, delivering and doing all kinds of work here, and construction work and upgrades. I just think we need to find a solution that will, you know, truly solve this problem. So I guess the next thing is finding out what we need more to do and what the cost would be.
See, the striping isn't there as a deterrent. It's there to separate the four lanes.
Yeah.
It's not there to say, or it would say in the lane, no left turn or no right turn. And that it's not, the striping isn't the deterrent. It's the curving.
Yes,
so it's the curving. If we determine that it's not sufficient, then they would have to add it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the curb and it's the deterrent. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you. Okay. And any other questions for Dave Englehart? Next is Economic and Community Development Director Ivy Wells.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Thank you, Chief, for the kudos you gave for the parade. I don't know if anybody realizes how long it takes to plan that parade and the amount of volunteers that we have and the work and dealing with the public and with 85 floats and about 150 that want to get into the parade. So it went very smoothly. Wayne Cannon even said it was the best parade that he's been at for a town. We made some changes this year. The parade ended about a half hour earlier than it usually ends, which was really nice for a lot of families. I'd like to say thank you to all the volunteers. Can't list them all because when we had our volunteer meeting that night, this room was packed with volunteers, especially Jeff for all of his help. Jeff's a big help. Chief's a big help. Everyone is. I wanted to also make mention of our Santa letters. I started the Santa letters about 4 years ago. We had a giant mailbox in the Welcome Center, and people could drop off their Santa letters whenever they want to because it's open 24 hours. So today is December 10th. We've already received over 100 letters in that Santa mailbox, which means it's catching on. When a child writes a letter, we send them back a personalized letter from Santa with a coupon for a free cookie or a free ice cream from some of the businesses downtown. So that's working out really nicely. Tomorrow I am hosting a lunch for all of my visitor center, Welcome Center volunteers. They donate their time and we treat them to lunch once a year and tell them how awesome they are because they are and they don't hear it enough. And then lastly, I developed a partnership with Chesapeake Ghost Tours, Mindy Burgoyne, and she runs a variety of ghost tours throughout the Eastern Shore, Cambridge, Easton. And this year, I went yesterday with Mary Beth Carosa, and the town of Berlin was named Partner of the Year. Mm-hmm. I'll bring this up. So we got an award for Partner of the Year, and also she made a donation to the town of Berlin for $1,000, which was a positive donation.
Wow. That's really nice. Really good.
Spooky.
There's the eyes.
Just while you're looking at that, the economic impact of the ghost tours, it started out just once every couple of weeks, and this past summer was her busiest season yet. She had to do 3 ghost tours in Berlin because the demand was so high, and that's kind of public-private partnership. I added a link for ghost tours on the Berlin Main Street website, and that got a lot of hits for her, and so what happens is people come here, they shop all day, then they have dinner, then they do a ghost tour. Some people even spend the night at the hotel, or they'll spend a whole weekend here. The ghost tour is definitely beneficial to the town.
Great. Great. Excellent. Does anyone have any questions for Ivy or comments? I'll say again, just like I said the last meeting, I think that you all did a great job. Please pass on our thanks to Allison. I think she's really enjoying the new position.
Very much.
And I know she has a great mentor, you know. So there's not too many things she's going to run into that you haven't already run into, right? Yeah, and so it's just very good. And I think just overall, and, you know, it's a very hard thing to make a judgment about. But I think the spirit in the town is good this year.
And also I'd like to say, but for the parade, Sharon really set us up. She was outstanding. She had an entire notebook dedicated for the Christmas parade. So I sent her a text the other day, you know, thanking her for all the pre-work that she did to help Allison and I with the parade. So I would like to say thank you to Sharon. I told her thank you.
She's here in spirit. Right?
Yeah.
And she's still with us, just in South Carolina.
Just south.
In much warmer weather.
Yeah. Good. Thank you. Any questions or comments for Ivy?
Just a quick comment. Ivy, will you still need the mayor and I helping you New Year's Eve for the
Yes.
Please make sure it's not 15 maybe degrees.
We've already pre-torn the bubble wrap. So we have all of that set up. I'm working with artist Jordan Pippin to design going to be the shape of a hot air balloon to drop for the kids.
Excellent. Now, would that be at which intersection?
Same as last year, Commerce and Pitts.
Okay.
Working with Tim's crew, they're going to use the bucket truck again to slowly drop it.
Excellent.
So we'll have two separate. The kids event is from 5 to 6.
5 to 6.
And then the balloon is dropped at 6 o'clock, which is the same time that it's New Year's in Berlin, Germany. And then the adult party starts at 10 p.m.
Great.
Hey, Mayor, I'm counting on you.
Yeah, I'm glad we don't have to separate them. We couldn't pass them out fast enough. It was good.
It was freezing last year. And it was like the amount of families that came out.
It was
awesome.
I
think there were more kids.
I had a blast with it. Thank you for that.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was.
Good. Thank you. And again, please thank everybody that associated with the volunteers. They all did outstanding.
You guys can go to
okay. Next is managing director Jeff Fleetwood.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I want to tag on to the parade as well. Probably not the right environment, but I'm going to do it anyway because I hope they get some press coverage. Delmar Pizza, again, donated. I figured it up about $1,000 for the food again.
Oh, my God.
And they look forward to it. And the first thing they asked me on Saturday when I took everything, Friday when I took all the stuff they gave me back, they said, how was it? How did people like it? So they are concerned. Just down good people. I told them the only thing they need to do now is move to Berlin and open up here.
That's a great idea.
Make it a shorter drive. Remind everyone on Friday the 14th, the holiday luncheon in this room. On the 19th at 1 p.m., Barry Daniels is retirement. And then and the real job that I do during the year-end closeouts on everything from on the HR side.
Great. Excellent. Any questions for Jeff? Right. Do we have anything to report for the town administration?
Nothing specifically. I just want to thank everybody for their hard work on the parade. I think it went extremely well this year. And it's all to our hard work in the Ivy's advanced planning. So good job.
I don't have any comments. Does anyone on the council?
Just real quick, I just want to wish everyone in the town of Berlin a Merry Christmas. And I want to remind the department head, staff, and employees, you guys make our job very, very easy. And I want to thank you all for that personally. It's a pleasure to work here. And when we get comments when we're in town, your town's so nice. It's so this. You guys are doing a wonderful job. I said, I'm doing it. I said, it's the staff, it's our department heads, it's the employees that do all of it. And I want to thank you guys for that.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. I make you look good. Just teasing you. I think, Jane, I received a question from one of our residents to see if they could put a slow children at play sign at the entrance of Powell Circle, if we have some room or an additional sign.
Sure.
If we could place one of those, it'd be greatly appreciated. And I echo Tom's thank you to everybody.
Thank you.
Happy holidays.
You too.
Thank you. I echo Tom's sentiment. And what is the schedule for us to hear from Dave Deutsch about
progress is made or what's happening or what is recommended or what?
Well, you heard the mayor talk a little bit about a YMCA feasibility analysis. We were hoping to have a recommendation on this agenda, but we weren't able to pull all the information together that we needed for that. So you'll hear more about that at the January 14th meeting.
Yeah, I think, basically, we're not anticipating any more things to hold that up. So, and that would be, if you just give Dave a heads up that not only that, but just to kind of give us an update on where things are. And I appreciate it because there's a lot of things, a lot of moving parts. And I'm sure it would be very interesting to the public as well, I'm sure.
I'd like to reiterate Tom's comments. I hear it all the time about how great things go around here, and you guys all the credit. That's where it should come from.
Do we have any comments from anyone attending the meeting tonight, or anybody want to bring any issues before the mayor and council? Okay, do we have any comments or questions from the press?
Move to adjourn.
We stand adjourned.
See y'all next year.
See you next year.
But don't see you in the street. But don't see you in the street.
I'll be doing that in 5 months. I'm already sharp.
Oh, I'm hooked.